Savior. And today, this afternoon, I'd like to focus on finding God in nature. This was fresh on my mind because it's springtime, it's beautiful outside, it's a time that many people go outside and enjoy the outdoors. And if you know me very well, you know that I absolutely love the outside. I love being outdoors, and if I'm indoors too long, you know, I start to go stir crazy. And I think a lot of that is because I really enjoy the closeness that we can have to God in nature, and that we can see His power in His creation, and that you know, when you're indoors, you're surrounded by things that are man-made, that don't have a long lifetime, that crumble and fade. But when you're out in nature, you realize that there is something greater and more powerful than us. And it's easier to remember God when you're in nature. And so, in thinking of that, I remembered the story of Job. If you remember the story of Job, Job had many wealthy possessions. He had a great family. He had a lot of things on this earth to keep him happy and comfortable. And he was tested by the devil to see if he would remain faithful to God. And all those things were taken away from him, his family, all his possessions. I mean, the equivalent for us would be if you had a house fire and you lost your family, everything you had. You didn't have insurance. You didn't have a savings. You just have nothing but you. That's it. And you know how devastating that would be and how hard it would be to start over. And Job here in Job chapter 30, verse 20. Job 30, verse 20. Says, I cry unto you, and you do not hear me. I stand up, and you don't regard me. You have become cruel to me. With your strong hand, you oppose yourself against me. You lift me up to the wind, and you cause me to ride upon it, and dissolves my substance. For I know that you will bring me to death and to the house appointed for all living. Howbeit he will not stretch out his hand to the grave, though he cry in his destruction. And Job here is starting to question God. Is, why are all these things happening to me? You've given me all these things, and now you take them all away. And God begins to answer, and we're going to read those passages and focus on God's answer to Job. And God's answer to Job is to look around you in nature and to see the power and the mysteries that you can't understand, that there is something greater and more powerful than you. And so with those thoughts, we'll begin.
Would get out your songbooks and please turn to number 5. Number 5. Oh Lord, my God, may I also
then Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Indeed, how great thou art, the great I am. We humble ourselves and tell you that we are in awe of you, your power manifested before our very eyes, your creation, and the song that we just sang, and the items mentioned, the stars and the planets and the earth and all therein. We have fear of your power, knowing that fear of you comes from knowledge of you and the scriptures, but it's a fear that beckons us, and the fear opens the door to realms of your love, mercy, and understanding. And we're thankful for your word that you revealed it to mankind, and for the preservation of it through centuries. It tells us who you are and what your will and counsel for mankind is. We're thankful that you did not leave us in the dark, and we read through the pages and we see how through the years that it's the story of redeeming man through Jesus Christ, and we thank you for that Jesus died for our sins, and we pray for forgiveness of our sins as we repent of them. We're thankful for thy every blessing, for the many things that too long to list, but above all for that Jesus died for the church, and we're thankful for the church that meets here. We want to pray for our elders, give them visions and wisdom that they might guide in such a way that we might grow spiritually and in number, and we're thankful for every member, for every teacher. And we're thankful for the love that's displayed here. And dear God, help us to realize that we all have talents and that we can all make a contribution here, that that the church here will grow in spirit and number and lead us to salvation, dear Lord. And we're looking for the day that you're coming back to redeem your bride. And we're looking forward to seeing you in the air in the clouds. We want to pray for our sick that were mentioned. For Jamie's father, and for Ted and Don Boggs, for Virginia Wilson, for Marilyn Volpe, and for Rosie, and we'll pray for Randall. Dear God, be with us in our coming week, in our activities. Help us to be aware of our surroundings, and help us to be bold, to stand up for the truth. And that while we may not see the results of the seed sown right away, we know that it will not return void to you. And help us to make these statements for what we believe. Be with us as we worship you this afternoon in song. And may the scriptures read bring us a stronger faith of you, and that we know you're there from what we see outside. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'll be reading from Job chapter 38, verses 4 through 18. Job 38, 4 through 18. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched a line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened, or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Or who shut in the sea with doors, when it burst forth and issued from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment, and thick darkness its swaddling band? When I fixed my limit for it, and set bars and doors? When I said, this far you may come, but no further? And here you must, your proud waves must stop. Have you commanded the morning since your days began, and caused the dawn to know its place, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth, and the wicked be shaken out of it? It takes on form like clay under a seal, and stands out like a garment. From the wicked their light is withheld, and the upraised arm is broken. Have you entered the springs of the sea, or have you walked in search of the depths? Have the gates of death been revealed to you, or have you seen the doors of the shadow of death? Have you comprehended the breadth of the earth? Tell me if you know all this.
Number 27. And if it's convenient for you, let's stand and sing number 27.
Continuing with and finishing Job chapter 38, starting in verse 19. Where is the way to the dwelling of light? And darkness, where is its place, that you may take it to its territory, that you may know the paths to its home? Do you know it because you were born then, or because the number of your days is great? Have you entered the treasury of snow, or have you seen the treasury of hail, which I have reserved for the time of trouble, for the day of battle and war? By what way is light diffused, or the east wind scattered over the earth? Who has divided a channel for the overflowing water, or a path for the thunderbolt, to cause it to rain on a land where there is no one, a wilderness in which there is no man, to satisfy the desolate waste and cause to spring forth the growth of tender grass? Has the rain a father, or who has begotten the drops of dew? From whose womb comes the ice and the frost of heaven, who gives it birth? The waters harden like stone, and the surface of the deep is frozen. Can you bind the cluster of the Pleiades, or loose the belt of Orion? Can you bring out Maseroth in its season, or can you guide the Great Bear with its cubs? Do you know the ordinances of the heavens? Can you set their dominion over the earth? Can you lift up your voice to the clouds, that an abundance of water may cover you? Can you send out lightnings, that they may go and say to you, here we are? Who has put wisdom in the mind, or who has given understanding to the heart? Who can number the clouds by wisdom, or who can pour out the bottles of heaven, when the dust hardens in clumps and the clods cling together? Can you hunt the prey for the lion, or satisfy the appetite of the young lions when they crouch in their dens, or lurk in their lairs to lie in wait? Who provides food for the raven when its young ones cry to God and wander about for lack of food?
Job, the 39th chapter, and I'm going to read the first 18 verses. In this first half of this chapter, God reveals his creation and greatness to Job and asks him, how did I do all this? With verse 1, he says, do you know the time when the wild mountain goats bear young? Or can you mark when the deer gives birth? Can you number the months that they fulfill? Or do you know the time when they bear young? They bow down, they bring forth their young, they deliver their offspring, their young ones are healthy, they go strong with grain, they depart and do not return to them. Who set the wild donkey free? Who loosed the bonds of the donkey? Whose home I have made the wilderness and the barren land his dwelling. He scorns the tumult of the city. He does not heed the shouts of the driver. The range of the mountains is his pasture, and he searches after every green thing. Will the wild ox be willing to serve you? Will he bed by your manger? Can you bind the wild ox in the furrow with ropes? Or will he plow the valleys behind you? Will you trust him because his strength is great? Or will you leave your labor to him? Will you trust him to bring home your grain and gather it to your threshing floor? The wings of the ostrich wave proudly, but are her wings and pinions like the kindly stork's? For she leaves eggs on the ground and warms them in the dust. She forgets that a foot may crush them, or that a wild beast may break them. She treats her young harshly, as though they were not hers. Her labor is in vain without concern, because God deprived her of her wisdom. Also did not endow her with understanding. When she lifts herself on high, she scorns the horse and its rider.
Number 127. This is my Father's world. Number 127. This is my Father's world.
Majestic snorting strikes terror. He paws in the valley and rejoices in his strength. He gallops into the clash of arms. He mocks at fear and is not frightened, nor does he turn back from the sword. The quiver rattles against him, the glittering spear and javelin. He devours the distance with fierceness and rage, nor does he come to a halt because the trumpet has sounded. At the blast of the trumpet, he says, "Aha!" He smells the battle from afar, the thunder of captains and shouting. Does the hawk fly by your wisdom and spread its wings toward the south? Does the eagle mount up at your command and make its nest on high? On the rock it dwells and resides, on the crag of the rock and the stronghold. From there it spies out the prey. Its eyes observe from afar. Its young ones suck up blood, and where the slain are, there it is.
Please turn to number 210, number 210. Walking Alone in Youth, number 210.
Walking alone at even, hearing stars afar, bidding the darkness come to a peaceful star. I have great delight in the wonderful scenes above. God is broad and wide, showing His truth and love.
Such a trial that Job did to that extreme. But we are still in danger of the fact that in this country we are richly blessed, and we can tend to trust in those things that we have gathered, and to think of our own abilities as to how we gained those profits, and we've worked so hard for all these things. And Job may have started to think about those things as well. You know, he He had been faithful and strong and realized that things had come from God, but as they were taken away, he may have started to think those things as to, you know, why is all this happening to me? And I think it's very interesting that where God turns Job is to nature. And he points to God's creation and says, look at all these things that I've created that the human mind can only dissect but can't fully understand. And, you know, science, you know, struggle to the end of time to try to uncover these mysteries. And it's because it's not in science, it's from God, that I think they will never uncover those mysteries. And we can, and Job finally realized, as God explained to him, that there is a higher power. And in chapter 42 of Job, verses 1 through 6, then Job answered God and said, I know that thou can do everything, and that no thought can be withheld from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me which I knew not. Hear, I beseech you, and I will speak. I will demand of thee and declare you unto me. I have heard of thee by hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. So, you know, Job explains here that I've heard you, I've heard from you, and I've heard of your power, but now I'm realizing that as I look up from my despair, I'm now seeing your power and seeing that you are more powerful than me, and that you are the creator. And that gave him the strength and the courage and the realization that of his insignificance, that he could get through those things, and he remained faithful to God. And in his situation, God blessed him again, even with more than he had originally. And I hope that we can have that attitude of Job and realize that all things come from God, and that God has a plan, and God is the power that we should look forward to. And that ultimate plan involved Christ coming down to die for the remission of our sins, so that we could have a hope of not just this world, but a home even greater than that. Are there any of those in the audience who need to partake of the Lord's Supper? All right. Well, at this time, we'll be served.
Can I ask if you would, please raise your hand after each prayer, so I can better serve you. Lord, we humbly come before you now, thanking you for this opportunity that we have to worship you. And we thank you for this bread that's set before us, and we pray that we know that it's a symbol of your Son that's laid up on the cross, that's died for our sins. And we pray that as we partake, that we'll be mindful and of that scene on the cross. In Jesus' name, amen. Anybody? Lord, we come before you again, thanking you for sending your Son on the cross for our sins, Lord. And we thank you for him being so willingly to lie on the cross with no questions asked. In Jesus' name, amen.
As we focused on nature, we realized that even though all this beauty is surrounding us in God's creation, there is a home that we hope for that Christ's death made possible that is even more magnificent than the one that we could see. And it's our heavenly home. And because Christ loved us and gave his life for us, we have the ability to live as he would have us to, and be forgiven of those sins that we've committed, and to have a more perfect home. And so the last songs that we will be singing will remind us of both nature and the heavenly home that we can only describe by the things that we can see, because it is a home that is even more magnificent than we can imagine.
This world is not my home.
Number 199. 199. Sing all three verses.
I am going to a city where the springs of gold are laid, where
scenes of nature as we went through this worship, but I hope you used your imagination and thought about nature as we sang the songs and read the scriptures, and I hope that you will see God and the creation around about you and use that as an opportunity to show others that power and to show others that there is something beyond this world and there is a power greater than us. And I hope that we realize that when we are struggling with trials and temptations and things, that we can look to nature as God pointed Job to and be strengthened there as well. But if you're not living right as you should be, I think it would have the actual adverse effect. As you look out to nature and look at God's creation and realize that even with your small, short life on this earth, that you're not living as God would have you to, and that there is a judgment coming, and that home that He's prepared for us, you would not have. And also, if you haven't become a Christian, you don't have that hope, and you can't find that strength that we see in nature. And, you know, as many scientists in our world are trying to explain away God because of that very reason, so they don't have to make changes in their lives and live as they would have as they should. And I hope that those who need to obey the gospel or need to make correction in their lives would come forward as we stand and as we sing.
Walking in sunlight all of my journey.
Move to the back so that they can concentrate. Anything else? All right, we'll be led in closing prayer. Let us pray.
Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the day that we've had to assemble here to worship you and to study your word and to sing praises unto your name. Father, we pray that as we leave here and go about our daily lives, that we will find ways to serve you better. We pray that as we look around us and look at your creation, that we will realize our position in this world and that we are here to serve you and to do your will, that you are in control and that you are the all-powerful. Pray that you will guide us as we go throughout our daily lives. Help us to not give in to the temptations that Satan puts before us. Help us to strive every day to learn more about you and to find opportunities to teach those that are lost. Pray that you'll guide us as we leave here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.